We're going to be talking today about social media, a hot topic indeed. And the title of today's episode is Social Media Quick Start Guide. And social media, as many of you may know, continues to grow in popularity as a viable marketing vehicle for businesses. According to a study by Alterian, 75% of marketers are expected to increase their digital social media budgets or spend this year in 2011. And if you're not yet using social media to market your business, then I hate to say it, but you are in the minority. 86% of business-to-business companies and 82% of business-to-consumer companies are now using social media, according to BizReport. If you find yourself behind the social media curve, then don't lose heart. It's never too late to start, as the old but true adage goes. And today, I will be laying out 10 steps to help you launch your business into the social media age. And if you're already in the social media age, as it were, and you just need a kick in the pants, as it were, you just need to maybe revitalize an existing social media campaign or series of campaigns that maybe have gone dormant, then this episode's for you. Of course, if you are new to social media, you're listening to the right episode today for sure. We're going to be talking about practical motivational nuggets to really help you get on track for the first time or back on track. And if you are part of the minority that I mentioned and you still think that maybe perhaps social media doesn't apply to your business or businesses in general, it's just a bunch of kids out tweeting on Twitter or talking with their high school friends on MySpace, and it's for personal use only for the most part, then first of all, I would have to say that your competitors disagree with you, and studies show that. Your competitors, for the most part, are online. And hopefully the stats I'll share with you in a minute will help convince you that this way of thinking is, in fact, a myth. Social media is now, today, right now, a part of most people's lives, period. Personal and professional aside, the separation between professional and personal or business and personal is very much blurred today. And social media, the way we engage in social media today as Americans and societies of the members of the world, if you will, there's not a lot of distinction between personal and professional. There is, certainly in certain circumstances, but there's a lot of blurring that's happening today. So either you're in social media or you're not. And if you're using it for personal use, you're also looking for potentially things to help you in your business if you are the target audience being reached through social media. So let me share a few quick stats that can hopefully help put that myth to death, the myth that social media is not for businesses. Of course, I already shared 86% of business-to-business companies are using social media today, compared to 82% of business-to-consumer businesses are using social media. That's actually kind of shocking to me. I would normally think that business-to-consumer or B2C would kind of lead the charge in terms of usage. I think we hear a lot about B2C companies today, simply because they're more in the forefront. We see their ads on TV, etc. But business-to-business companies are also very heavily engaged in social media, and it's not a new trend. It's been happening this way for the last few years. The use of social networks for marketing continues to grow, and the percentage of company respondents in a recent study by Simpo, they say that they use Facebook for marketing 84% of the time, and that's up from 73% last year. Now, even if it was 73% of businesses that are using Facebook for marketing, that's a huge number. But that shows that it's only increasing to 84% this year. Three quarters or 74% of North American advertising agencies say that their clients run pay-per-click or paid search campaigns on Facebook. Another statistic to share with you, businesses are increasingly aware that their blogs are highly valuable. In fact, 85% of businesses rated their company blogs as useful, important, or critical to their business. And a whopping 27% rated their company blog as critical to their business. And that is according to HubSpot. 85% see blogs as very important to their business in one degree or another. to talk about the myth that only young people or teenagers, for example, are on social media, and the older generations are not. There are many, many studies today. There are endless studies almost that show otherwise. One study in particular shows that Facebook has the largest division of older users, with 37% being 45 years or older. 37%, over one-third of Facebook users are 45 years or older. And the fastest growing segment on Facebook is, get this, those in the 55 to 65-year-old bracket, females specifically. Those kind of statistics definitely run contrary to the popular myth, or unpopular as the years go on, that only young people use social media for personal use. LinkedIn, the majority of the companies that are on LinkedIn have 10,000 or more employees. They're large companies that are on LinkedIn, and all of the Fortune 500 companies, according to LinkedIn, are represented on LinkedIn. One more final statistic for you. The age group or age range that spends the most time online on a monthly basis is those aged between the age bracket of 45 and 54. Those who spend the most time online on a monthly basis are those aged 45 to 54, according to ComScore. So those are some statistics that might be helpful for you, and hopefully I've convinced you otherwise. If I haven't, then I will just I'll need to try harder next time. But regardless, just some interesting thoughts to consider as we look at social media and how to get started. According to, of course, the title of today's episode, Social Media Quick Start Guide, and it's a quick start guide. Continuing to do social media at the end of the day is all about doing more of the same, really, that we'll talk about today. All right, well, let's get into it. I'm looking forward to diving in today. Here we go. 10 steps to help you get started in social media or revamp your existing social media efforts. And as we talk through these 10 steps, keep in mind that it's more important, the how is more important than the what. So just having a presence on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or wherever it might be, or having a blog, just the what is not nearly as important as how you use social media and how you use these various channels available to you today. And I'd like to elaborate on that concept for a quick minute here. Again, just putting up a page is easy. Anybody can put up a Twitter account or Facebook account or a website for that matter. That's the easy part. The difficult part, the challenging part, but also the rewarding part, is doing social media the right way. Doing it day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, forever, consistently, the right way that matters. And it is so important to remember that as we talk through these steps. So step number one, first of all, when getting started with social media or revamping your existing social media campaigns, it's important to first define and agree on the objectives, goals, and success metrics that you want to strive toward. Objectives. So it's important to know where you're going, why you're going there, and how you know when you've arrived there, wherever the there is, which is defined, of course, by your objectives. So objectives, goals, and success metrics. That's the first thing you need to do to define those and agree on those internally at your company. It's very important to agree on them. It's one thing to say, these are my objectives as a social media marketing manager at a company, for example, and this is what I'm going to do. It's a completely different thing to get the correct buy-in and agreement from the decision makers at your organization on those objectives, goals, and success metrics. And it's important to remember that you need to have more than just one success metric in terms of measuring your success. It's always important not to just have one measure of success. You need to have a good mix of qualitative as well as quantitative measures of success. so that you can evaluate your efforts. And social media is a type of online marketing that definitely lends itself to having multiple forms of tracking and multiple types of key performance indicators or KPIs. So make sure that you've defined your objectives, your goals, your success metrics, why you're doing what you're doing, and make sure everybody's on the same page, if at all possible. Step number two, discern, and I use the word discern or know your company and its culture. Understanding your company and its culture is vital. Assessing the existing culture in which you operate at your company is so important that if it's not taken into account and considered and evaluated up front, it could mean the demise of your social media campaign, both in the short term and the long term. Because you need to know where you stand. You need to know the acceptance rate of social media, the understanding of social media, and how your organization views it as something that's viable and can help the company, or something that is for the younger generation and doesn't apply to businesses, for example. So understanding that culture and having an open culture is so important. But not just the culture at your company, but also to make sure that your social media efforts are aligned to your company's brand. Step three in establishing a social media presence and getting launched with regard to social media for your business or getting revamped, whatever the case might be, is to decide on the target market or markets, singular or plural, and decision makers that you want to reach, or the who, if you will. This is basically marketing 101, but it's so important and it is all too often overlooked, even by marketers. I've heard it said many times when asked the question, who are you going to target? Who are you trying to reach? And I've heard the response, everyone. That mindset inevitably will lead to failure when it comes to not only social media, but marketing in general, eventually. Because for one, you will be spending your time and effort trying to focus on everyone, which of course is an oxymoron. You can't focus on everyone. You have to decide who you want to target. I had a professor in college say to me, going back quite a few years here, if I had to put marketing in one word, it would be this: targeting. That was marketing in a word to that professor. And I agree with that. Without understanding the market, as the word marketing implies, how will you know who you're trying to reach? What motivates that target audience? What leads them to the point where they are ready to buy or make a decision to follow you or to like you on Facebook or to partner with you, whatever the case might be. If you don't understand those motivations, it's virtually impossible to be able to influence that person or persons. And it always requires determining and deciding on the target markets, and secondly, the appropriate and correct decision makers within those target markets always requires some degree of research. And I'll provide you with some examples or ideas for your consideration. The first one might be to analyze your current customer base. Look at your existing customer contact list, if you will, and say, which customers generate the most money for our organization? What are our bread and butter customers, or where's the sweet spot when it comes to our customer size? The profile of your ideal customer. So define that. Look at that. Know who you're doing business with, and that can help yield and lead to information that's useful in future and current targeting efforts when it comes to marketing. Talk to your sales team. Ask them, learn from them about who they're talking to, what trends they might be seeing. There is some very interesting and very important and valuable insights to be gleaned from your sales teams. Thirdly, another idea, secondary research. This can be free research. Basically, you can look at websites and read research reports that have been published by research firms. Of course, make sure that the research that was done is reliable. It was done in a statistically significant manner. And there's also those research studies that are out there that are of a secondary nature that are for purchase. Some you might have to pay for. And those can provide valuable insights as it relates to your industry, best practices, benchmarks, things like that. There's also primary research, which is data that's collected directly by you or a research agency commissioned by you via a survey, focus group, and one area that I think is most commonly overlooked, and that's website analytics or tracking, which is, in a sense, observational studies, which are very reliable in most cases. So being able to observe what visitors to your website are doing can be very helpful and can teach you and help you understand more about your target audience. Because chances are you're already targeting the correct audience. You just need to learn more about them. They might already be mixed into your current client base. Maybe they're not, but they could be. And so observing what people are doing on your website, and of course we don't have time to go into detail about how to do that, but that's an important place to look as you learn more about your target audience. You can also do research with some other free online tools, things like that. But these are some good areas to look at when it comes to primary research or research that's collected directly by you. Of course, primary research is typically more expensive, but it's typically more accurate and specific to your business. So you can also you should also profile the decision makers. In other words, understand if you're trying to reach, let's say, certain your business-to-business company, you're trying to reach certain organizations in a certain vertical industry or market, you need to know, is it the VPs I'm trying to talk to, the vice presidents, or is it the C-level executives? Is it the directors? And what are their roles? And understanding who you're trying to reach in the organization is very, very important as well. And I can't stress that enough. Really immersing yourself in their world and knowing as much as possible about what motivates those decision makers is key. And I don't just mean on a business level, but on a personal level. If they love golf, for example, if they they love traveling, maybe communicating to them maybe offering free giveaways as part of a contest that have to do with golf, if that's what they like personally. You get the point. So basically understand what makes them tick, both personally and professionally. The fourth step to take is to deal with potential detractors up front. And what I mean by potential detractors is things that could detract from the short-term and long-term success of your social media efforts. Be forward-thinking. Anticipate what the potential hurdles might be down the road. So examples could include getting the proper approvals or buy-in internally at your company before you go off and start tweeting. Making sure you have enough resources, making sure you have the right people doing social media for you is very, very key. People that understand social media is very important, because the type of marketing we're talking about is not something that you can micromanage day in and day out. You need people that you can trust, people that understand the lingo or the vocabulary of social media, and they love it. They are addicted to social media. Those are the kind of people you want to work with. But anyway, you got to make sure that you have not having the right people in place could be a detractor to success. Do your homework. That's also important. Do your research. Make sure you have data to back up what you're doing, because naysayers in your company or outside of the company will come, most likely will come, I should say, in most cases. So people will come and say, well, why are you doing what you're doing? And how is it important to our business? And why should we, how can we achieve success? Make sure you have your objectives lined out, you've communicated those, and you have your homework. You've done your homework, you have your research to show this is why we're doing it, rather than I feel like we should be doing it. There's a lot of buzz about it, and it seems really cool. That won't fly. Having hard, solid facts as to why you're doing social media is very important to have in place up front. Also, of course, a potential detractor, which we already touched on, was your internal culture at your company. Make sure that the company's ready for it, and if they're not, do what you can to help get them ready as quickly as possible. And of course, there'll always be shortcomings or shortfalls when it comes to the culture not being ready, but just adapt to those. But do what you can to make sure the culture is ready for social media. You know, it's amazing how quickly social media strategy can get derailed. And that's why I touch on the importance of dealing with potential detractors up front. It's not because social media doesn't work, but it's usually because it's often misunderstood or not understood at all by those in your organization. Namely, that it takes time and doesn't happen overnight. It isn't always trackable in some cases. It's sometimes qualitative. That's why you need to have different types of ways to track your success. And it's more so that way than other forms of online marketing are. It is very trackable in some ways, but in other ways it's not. You need to also look at the qualitative measures. But making sure that people in the organization understand the expectations are set up front is very important, and so that they know what to expect from your social media campaigns is absolutely vital. Okay, those are the first four steps. Let's just review real quick. First, define your objectives, goals, success metrics. Second, discern or know your company. Third, decide on your target markets. Don't just say, I'm going to focus on everybody, because that's not possible. You need to decide, not possible to do effectively, I should say. Decide who you're going to target. Number four, deal with potential detractors up front. And then the fifth thing, a step to take, is to differentiate. And what I mean by that is you need to identify what differentiates your company from your competition. And not only what differentiates you from your competition, but making sure that those differentiators are what your target audiences are looking for, what your buyers are seeking. And if you find after analyzing the situation and analyzing your company that you really don't have any differentiators, don't lose heart. Completely overhauling a product or writing a new software from the ground up is not the only way to differentiate yourselves. Take heart. Sometimes all it takes is making changes to your culture, you know, customer service, for example, and communicating those differentiators. It could be a change in your marketing approach in combination with, like I said, a change in your culture. That stuff doesn't happen overnight, of course, but there are ways to differentiate yourself if you're not already differentiated that can be a lot less work, I should say, than, like I said, completely overhauling a product or completely redoing your image, although that might be needed in some cases. So differentiate yourself. Then come up with creative ways to communicate your points of differentiation. I'd like to recommend a book called Made to Stick, and of course it's by Dan and Chip Heath. They're brothers, and I have no professional affiliation with them. They're not paying me money to say this. I'm just saying I love that book. It makes the point that your ideas, in order to stick, need to have certain characteristics to them. So make sure that whatever you're communicating it that the ideas are concrete and they're communicated in such a way that they will stick with your audience. They'll be remembered and cause action on the case in the case of your audience. They'll actually do something to hopefully purchase from you or do whatever you want them to do. So the fifth point is differentiate. I mentioned one thing that's very important to know, and that is we're on step five. And do you notice something? We're not even tweeting yet. We're not even liking or Facebooking yet, which we will elaborate on later. But doing social media the right way and how you do it is more important than just doing it. Okay, so having your ducks in a row and taking these steps is so vital because, again, anybody can put up a Facebook page or a Twitter page. To be effective, social media should be thought out, planned out effectively. We just went through the first five steps, and we've talked about basically making sure that you know who you're targeting, you understand your culture at your company, you understand what motivates your buyers, potential buyers, And you've tried to remove as many roadblocks as possible while differentiating yourself in the marketplace and figuring out how to communicate those differentiators effectively. So that's kind of the first step, if you will, or first chunk of steps important to getting up and running with social media or revamping your existing efforts. With those in mind and with those kind of decided and enumerated, documented, you're ready to jump into step six. And step six is to determine where your target audiences are online and what they're doing in those places. It's the answering the question of what. What are they doing? So you've answered the question of who they are. You know who they are. You know your decision makers. You know what market segments you're trying to reach. But you want to know specifically, more specifically, where are they? Are they on blogs most often? Are they on Facebook? Are they on Twitter? Or maybe none of the above. Maybe they like to use little niche sites out there on the web. Not very common, but it does happen. And what are they doing when they're on those sites? Are they sharing information with others? Are they contributing in some way? Or are they just observing what's happening? Forrester's Social Technographics has some great insight into this topic of trying to understand what your audience is doing at these various locations online. And so that is something that is not typically easily obtained, that sort of information, but it is important to find that out. And sometimes it happens through just simply listening. You've heard it called social media listening, if you will. So you're actually listening to what's being said in the marketplace, your marketplace that you're trying to target, how it's being said, what is most popular, and how does all that relate to what you are trying to sell or offer via the web. So as you do this, be objective and don't assume that, for example, you should be on Facebook just because Facebook is, you know, the top site that everyone goes to on the internet. And don't go to Facebook just because – don't assume that you should be on Facebook for your business just because you like Facebook, no pun intended, or because you think that it's where people are. You need to know that's where people are and the right people that you're trying to reach. You need to know for a fact rather than assuming that's where they are. And again, I use the word you, but I'm really speaking of we, in terms of we. We are all prone to this, myself included, to making assumptions at first glance as we're getting into social media or any type of marketing. And it's, of course, the job of the data to help correct us where we might be incorrect and at the same time confirm where we might be on target. So always refer back to the data and the research. Many are resistant to newer forms of marketing. And for those naysayers in your organization or outside the organization, it is important to have all your ducks in a row, to have all your data to back up what you're doing and why you're doing it and what you hope to achieve, of course. Step seven, document your strategy and your plan. So take all of what you have defined and learned and achieved and collected through steps one through six and document it into a strategy or a plan. That strategy or plan should incorporate and be consistent with your objectives, your target audience, your company or your culture, and like I said, all of steps one through six that we've just discussed. This strategy and this plan should also be integrated across all of your online social media channels or outposts. In other words, you don't want to have an inconsistent message that you're telling to the market or communicating to the market on different social media channels. You don't want to have an inconsistent look and feel or color palette, for example. You don't want to be using green on one side and a completely off shade of you know, yellow or pink on another site, for a dumb example. But I've seen worse, by the way. Being consistent, being integrated across all of your social media efforts and channels is very important. Set up some initial timelines for your program and how you're going to roll it out and when, step by step. So as you are working through steps one through six, that is important to incorporate those aspects into your program rollout plan. And I might say that actually having a plan is it could be step six or step seven rather, or it could be a step that kind of is woven throughout all of these steps we're talking about. As you're doing steps 1 through 6 and 8 through 10, you're weaving what you're finding and learning and agreeing on internally within that plan or into that plan. So it could be step 7, or it could be just a step that kind of gets tagged on to all the other steps we've talked about. Also, make sure that you define in your plan and your strategy the roles and the responsibilities of the team. Who's doing what, and make sure that you have the right team in place. Again, I'll stress that again. You cannot place enough importance or value on having the right team in place. And if you don't, then you will need to micromanage what's going on. And you don't want to do that. You want to avoid having to micromanage when it comes to social media. Social media is as you know, Jay's book's title defines it, the now revolution. It's now. It happens in real time. You can't wait for approvals. You can't stop someone in every case and say you can't say that or you can't say that. You need to set up some guidelines up front for what can and can't be said, what can and can't be done, and then let those social media experts go off and do what they do. Of course, make sure you have the oversight and you're watching what they're doing, but you need to have people that you trust in. That's my point. That know what they're doing, and that thrive on social media. They're addicted to it. They eat, sleep, and drink it. They do it before work, after work, and during work. There aren't any magic numbers for how much you should post. There's many agencies out there today that say we'll do this many posts for you for this price. And I have to admit, in the early days, our agency did that. And in the very, very early days of social media, and have learned that that's not the right way to do it. It's not about how many times you post on Twitter or Facebook. It's about doing it the right way and doing it in a way that it's effective. And the quantity will follow if the quality is there and you have the right quality people and the right quality messages in place. It simply needs to be part of who your organization is and who your people that do social media are. Okay, so step 7, document your strategy and your plan. Step 8, develop your social media profile. So this is the point where we're starting to actually develop these profiles, the blogs, your social media outposts, based on steps 1 through 7. Put it all together. This is the step where you put it all together, set up and enhance your social media profiles if you already have them, or your blog, whatever the case might be. And for instance, putting steps 1 through 7 together, what do I mean by that? What I mean is taking your objectives and saying, as we're building out these social media profiles on Twitter, Facebook, wherever they might be, maybe LinkedIn, other places, make sure that your objectives are represented there and communicated through your profile descriptions. Make sure that your colors are consistent with your brand. Make sure that you have are following your strategy and your plan. Making sure that your differentiators, step 5, are highlighted on all of the profiles. Make sure that you're consistent. So incorporating all of those pieces in as you develop the profiles is key. And what would have happened? Let's just say, for example, if you skip steps 1 through 7, or maybe even steps 1 through 6, and you still have some sort of plan together, and you skip right to step 8. Potentially, inconsistent message, inconsistent look and feel across all these social media sites, which typically leads to ineffectiveness. Inconsistency when it comes to social media typically can lead to ineffectiveness, and that's obviously something that you want to avoid. So having all of these plans in place, getting ready to develop your social media profiles here in step 8 is exciting, obviously. So you're setting up these accounts, and I want to talk just briefly about two of the most common social media websites that are used for business. And I'm going to talk about Facebook and I'm going to talk about Twitter. I'd love to talk about LinkedIn as well. It's very important as it comes to business. And this is typically, I'm doing a broad brush stroke here. It differs by company. It differs by industry. Of course, you need to do your research and find out if these are the right channels for you, but I'm just going to touch on them because they are so common, they are so heavily used, Facebook and Twitter, and in the interest of time as well. So Facebook, Of course, you need to have, of course, first a personal profile on Facebook. I'll just talk about some of the key things you need to know just to get started. And having a personal profile is a necessity. Once you have a personal profile, you can set up what's called a business page on Facebook, and you can manage that business page from your personal profile. Business pages look different than personal profiles, and they function differently. With personal profiles, for example, you can go out and you can invite people to be your friends. And friends, being friends is kind of the terminology over there on the personal side. Liking is the terminology that's used currently on the business side of things for Facebook. Of course, you can also have Facebook ads once you have a business profile, which you can run all across Facebook and target to specific demographics. It's kind of the advertising side of Facebook, if you will. Facebook is a little more personal, private from what I have seen, as compared to Twitter, which is more public, and the business and the personal are typically more mixed. There's usually not much distinction from what I've seen. Facebook is more powerful in terms of how much you can customize it. And what can be done there. There's a lot of different apps or applications that can be used on Facebook. There's some customizations that you can have your web developer make for you on your Facebook page. And you can, of course, have different Facebook pages for your organization and coordinate them and link them all together, which is a great strategy depending on the size of your business and if you're maybe targeting different audiences. So it's just some high-level tips there as it relates to Facebook. And of course, again, just to emphasize, your strategy and your plan should be forefront and woven throughout all that you do as you set up this profile, the colors, the profile description, and the posts, what you say, your photos, et cetera, as you reach out to the right audiences in the right ways. And then, of course, adjust as needed. Tweak, you know, each site, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, et cetera, they're all different. So make adjustments as needed, but have an overall consistent look and feel and message that you're communicating throughout Facebook. Talked about Twitter a little bit and the key things you should know about Twitter. Of course, these are key things. This is not exhaustive, and this is not a step-by-step setup process. It's simply just sharing some key things you need to be aware of when using Twitter for business. Twitter has its own lingo or its own vocabulary, hashtags and retweets, things like that that you need to be aware of and understand. It's a little bit of a learning curve at the beginning, but once you get in the flow of it and start using those different, not only vocabulary, but their actual functions, if you will, that you can use via Twitter, it goes very smoothly. There's character limits when it comes to Twitter. That's what Twitter kind of is all about, as opposed to Facebook from the beginning. I mean, that's what made all the buzz initially. 140 characters is all you get per tweet is what they're called, or per post. There's also limits to how many characters you get for your username and your page name for Twitter. So keep that in mind. And of course, setting up a Facebook profile and a Twitter profile can all be done in obvious places, Facebook.com, Twitter.com. When it comes to Twitter, you can have a personal profile and you can also have a business profile. And you can have multiple profiles for each. And they don't have to be linked. Whereas with Facebook, a personal profile is really required to have a business profile or a business page set up. Twitter is very limited in terms of how much you can customize your page. Basically, the extent of the customizability of your Twitter page is limited pretty much to the background you use. The background is just an image file that you upload. And then, of course, you can, of course, tweak your profile description and link to your website, that kind of stuff. But in terms of look and feel, pretty much your background image is kind of the extent. Understanding Twitter's culture is very important. There's a certain culture on Twitter that's different from Facebook. And in some cases, they are kind of merging. There's a lot of the advent of a lot of these different social media platforms that are out there that allow you to post to multiple social media websites simultaneously have caused some of the the culture to converge, I think, across LinkedIn, especially when LinkedIn allowed posts that were more akin to Twitter. We'll get into detail about that, but there are a lot of synergies that are happening between all the different social media outposts, but they are different. When it comes to Twitter, short and sweet is what it's all about. Sometimes you'll see public conversations that should probably be private, and you have no clue what people are talking about. That's something I see very common on Twitter, and you see them and you just go, okay, I have no clue what they're talking about. I'll move on with my day and whatever I was doing. Personal business, like I said, is mixed a little bit more. Twitter's more public, seems to be, than Facebook. Facebook I've seen to be used more for personal use, not exclusively, but in some cases. Your strategy, of course, as it comes to Twitter or Facebook or whatever the case might be, of course, should always be forefront. Your plan, your strategy should be woven throughout all that you do. Step 9, do. Get going. Hit the ground running and start getting out there, posting, tweeting. After your strategy's in place, your plan's in place, you have the proper buy-in and approvals, you've set your target audience and you're reaching the right people, get out there and start doing it. Social media has been likened, or most often in some cases behaves like mass media marketing, where the primary goal is to simply broadcast or send out information, but it shouldn't be used that way. Social media is a two-way communication effort. I should say it shouldn't be used exclusively for broadcasting, sending out information about your company, offers you might have, completely fine as long as it's done in the right way. But I would liken social media more to guerrilla marketing. There's no way around it. You have to just roll up your sleeves, dive in, and get dirty, as it were. Social media is about people. It's social, as the name implies. It's about getting to know people, establishing relationships, and building trust as well. And it takes a lot of work. Don't let anyone tell you that social media is not work. Getting set up and having a profile is easy. Doing it the right way, that's difficult. And if you do it the right way, chances are you're going to be successful, of course, and reach the right people and hit the appropriate pain points and decision-making levers for your target audience, then your chances are greatly improved of achieving success through social media. But it is a lot of work. It takes time. It does not happen overnight. It grows like an organism. You look at a tree, and you can't just stick a seed in the ground and expect it to be a massive oak the next day or even the next month. It takes time. There are exceptions, of course, sometimes when something goes viral and you grow your social media presence overnight. Very few and far between, but it does happen. But it's not the norm by any means. Finally, step 10. Step 9 was do. Step 10 is do it again and do it differently if necessary. Especially if what you're doing doesn't seem to be working, try different things. Switch it up. And keep in mind that you need indirect measures of success as well as direct measures. But regardless, it's important to always switch things up, keep trying different things, and don't be afraid to fail. Especially when it comes to social media, you cannot be afraid to think outside the box, try new things, and test. Most of you and myself, as we do social media, we most of all cannot be afraid to fail. In one of his books, Robert Kiyosaki, I'm a huge fan of him, he recounts a story from his younger years as a salesman, and he was not being successful. He was not making sales. He went to his rich dad. You'll know what that means if you've read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. But he goes to his rich dad to ask for his advice. And his rich dad says this to him, you have not failed enough. And what he meant by that is you're not making enough cold calls. You're not out there failing so that you can learn. Failure teaches us how to succeed. And that is so important when it comes to social media. Do not be afraid to fail. Get out there and do it, and then do it again. Remember that social media is always changing. And as such, what I've shared today could change tomorrow. So just continue to test, continue to do what you can to reach the correct audiences.